And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of The Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Back. I am so glad to be back, folks. I took a much-needed vacation. So grateful for the guest hosts and for my producer, Randy, and everybody taking care of business while I was gone, but I am back. I'm rested. I'm rip-roaring, ready to go, folks. I feel like a combat soldier, a combat Marine from my perspective, a combat Marine who's just been away on leave, and I'm now back in the foxhole. I'm loaded for bear, you know. I've got my weapon cleaned. I've got my ammo beside me, and it's on. Now, for the leftists who are listening, that is all metaphorical language. It is not intended to convey that I'm holed up somewhere with ammunition ready to shoot people, okay? It shouldn't have to be said, folks, but you got people monitoring my show, and I'm sure others who just want to go out there and claim that we're stoking violence. But for those of you who understand an old Marine's image, I mean, I can see myself with my M16, my M17 right there beside me. And I tell you, it's the image of a warrior. That's what it is. It's not the image of a violent person ready to hurt people. It's the image of a warrior. And I've been telling people that I've had an opportunity to talk to while I was gone and since I've been back, just got back yesterday. But folks, I am so ready for the fight. I mean, there is more fight in me now than there has ever been. You know, I feel like Rocky. You know, you hit me, you knock me down, but you just don't know what you've done. You know, you don't know what you've done because you don't know what's on the inside of me. You don't know the fire that burns in me. And you think I'm going to back up, lay down because I took a hit? Oh, you've got another thought coming. So it is on, folks. It is on. And I'm looking toward the future. I mean, we can't, you know, I always say, because these leftists like to dredge up the past and try to have everybody all enmeshed in and captivated by the past and all the past sins that they can conjure up. And I say, you know, you can't drive a car looking through the rearview mirror. You got to look ahead. You can glance to see what's around you, see what's behind you, but you stare in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. So we can't stare in the rearview mirror. We have to learn the lessons by glancing, seeing, okay, we know what's happened, and then we've got to go from there. I said there are really three things we need to do right now that are on very, very high on my agenda. Number one is obviously we need to get our election process cleaned up. And state legislatures can do that. The federal government can't do that. That's not their role to control state elections. But everywhere there are conservatives who respect the Constitution, respect our people and their right to one man, one vote. And here again, one man means the generic man, like as in mankind, one man for each, one vote for each person. I tell you, this political correctness is just crazy. But everybody who respects that, who respects the fact that you don't need to be an Einstein in order to have a voter ID, and voter ID doesn't imply some kind of discrimination against quote unquote people of color. There's no such thing. Oh, well, all people have color. You know, the left is so good at dividing and slicing and dicing people. All people have color. You know what? I've never seen a white person in my life. Have you? No, people of European background generally have a beige skin, beige color skin, light beige skin, or sometimes even a light brown or light tan skin, depending on what part of Europe they come from. There's no such thing as a person without color. Oh, here are the people of color over here, and here are the people without color over here. Now, just think how stupid that sounds. But look, if you want to start trying to give away prizes for stupidity, just look left and you will, believe me, start rolling out the trophies, you know, because you'll find plenty of worthy recipients. But that's number one. We got to get the election process cleaned up. You don't need a George Soros operative controlling anything that has to do with American elections. And you don't need American elections in any way controlled by, compiled by, evaluated by, votes counted by any foreign entity or any foreign company. This has all got to be done here in-house. And you need either people who have no dog in the race, they are completely nonpartisan, which is practically impossible to find, but you can find some people maybe who are not as passionate, you know, kind of in the muddy middle. Or you've got to just balance it. You've got to make it a bipartisan effort so that there are people representing the two major parties at the very least who are involved in the process so that they can check each other and they can try to keep each other honest. But we can't go on with this stuff of having the election machines and having the election process pretty much all controlled by leftists. I mean, that's a formula for disaster. Because if the American people lose confidence in the election process, I can't overstate just how dangerous that is for our country. So that's number one. And number two, we've got to restore the sacredness of our First Amendment rights. Because as you all know, right now, that's under vicious assault. I mean, they are really, you know, and by the way, when you all call me today, tell me if any of you remember this, but I used to hear it said frequently. This was an American principle and ideal. I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend with my life your right to say it. And you know, people meant that. Our veterans went off to fight, not to for liberals to have the right to say what they believe or to conservatives to have the right to say what they believe, but for all Americans to enjoy the freedom that you don't enjoy almost anywhere else in the world. But we're now trying to be more like a socialist country that has decided what speech is acceptable and what speech is not, and is creating speech codes. And the Democrat Party now has big tech to do their enforcing. See, folks, and look, I'm a free market person, believe very strongly in free enterprise, but I'm telling you, these big tech companies have got to be broken up. They've got to be broken up. They simply have too much power and they're too ideological. They cannot remain as they are. They can't. It is a danger to our country, particularly when they're beholden to one party and are as committed as Democrats are to having a one-party socialist state. And I believe that's the Democrats' vision, a one-party socialist state, where basically you can have Republicans out there, but they don't matter because there are not enough of them. And they're completely overwhelmed by, you know, the combination of illegal immigrants and cheating and stealing votes and minorities and whatever else they can cobble together as the victim classes of the country, just like, you know, with Marx, with the proletariat. It's just a new way of defining the proletariat. But whatever they can cobble together, then that becomes the quote unquote new American majority. That's a phrase coined by Steve Phillips in his book, Brown is the New White, the new American majority. So we've got to, our First Amendment rights are sacred. And that means I'm prepared to defend the First Amendment rights of people who don't agree with me too. But see, the left doesn't have any such moral compunctions such as that. They just as soon silence us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Will censorship increase, or is the purge of some politicians' political content over? A few argue that now that President Trump is history, and now that a few malcontents have been removed from social media, our leaders can get back to governing. But there are too many voices who seem emboldened by the purges that have taken place. For example, the CEO of Mozilla argued that deplatforming people from its services was not enough. He believes that real change requires more than just the temporary silencing or permanent removal of bad actors. On a recent CNN program, a former Facebook officer called for carriers like Verizon, AT&T, and others to deplatform One American News Network and Newsmax. At Forbes, the chief content officer warned companies that might consider hiring somebody who worked in the Trump administration because he said Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. Another editor at Forbes warned that there would be a truth reckoning for such companies. Alfredo Ortiz, writing in Real Clear Politics, believes that big tech's coordinated silencing of conservative voices, including President Trump's, signals a crossing of the Rubicon in the debate over government involvement to protect free speech. Although those involved in this purge justify it as a way to prevent further rioting and violence, he believes it is a power grab. Even the ACLU warns it should concern everyone when companies like Facebook and Twitter wield the unchecked power to remove people from platforms that have become indispensable for the speech of billions. It seems to me that a purge has begun. It doesn't seem to me that it will stop anytime soon. Who will it destroy, and when will it stop? Nobody really knows. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
It all came down to the ultrasound, and I saw this little lima bean looking thing with a halo, which I thought was incredible.
A baby wasn't really in the plan for this young mom. After seeing a halo on her baby on ultrasound at a preborn center, she was still leaning towards abortion.
And I got to hear the heartbeat, and I got chills. In that moment, I just felt God's arms come around me and hug me and tell me that it was going to be okay.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country, as they equip centers to save more babies and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby.
My choice to become a mom and hear those little footsteps running down the hallway every morning is all because I had an ultrasound. It saved my life and hers.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden is in the process of killing 1 million jobs. Gee, thanks, Democrats. Biden has issued more executive orders than any president in history. Twitter wants you to rat out your neighbors. Why does Biden want thousands of National Guard troops in D.C.? I'll tell you. And Biden admits he was lying about what he could do with COVID. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. So those are the first two things. We've got to protect our First Amendment rights. We've got to get our election. And by the way, that includes religious liberty as well, which has come under assault, particularly during this COVID hysteria. We've got to get our election integrity exactly where it ought to be so that the American people have confidence in our elections. And here's the third thing, folks. Conservatives have got to stop surrendering these minority voters to the left. The left has sold them a bill of goods, and this stuff is deep, folks. I mean, they've sold them a bill of goods that, first of all, America is an inherently racist place. It's a white supremacist place. In other words, if you are a minority person, if you're not of European ancestry, you are, by definition, living in enemy territory. I mean, that's the message that they're sending. And what do you do if you're living in enemy territory? Well, obviously, you need an ally to protect you from your enemy. And that's what the Democrat Party is. They're your ally to protect you from all those mean racists out there who are out to get you. From every single citizen to the police, they're out to get you. and the Democrat Party are your saviors. They are going to save you. And you know, the fact of the matter is, as stupid and as absurd as that is to anybody who knows anything about human history, about the history of the country, as absurd as that is, I don't really believe that conservatives, based on my 40 plus years of activism, maybe a few less than 40, of political activism as a Christian, I don't remember ever seeing conservatives, call it the Republican Party for that, if you will, answer that, actually go after that in a direct way and expose that for what it is and call people to a sense of unity and say things to these voters that they need to hear, that they desperately need to hear. If silence is consent, in a way. If you don't respond, then it's as if, well, maybe, you know, maybe they've got a point. Well, they don't have a point. And that is going to be a preoccupation of mine outside this radio program over the next, frankly, for the foreseeable future. Awakening these minority voters, Black, Hispanic, Asians, awakening them, and on it goes. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but awakening them to the fact that they've been lied to and that they're blessed to live in the most free nation on earth and that they have more opportunity to fulfill their God-given potential than they would any place else on the earth. And here's another thing that they need to hear in the midst of all of this craziness, that there is more goodwill in the American people than I believe exists anywhere else on the face of the earth. Now, that may be a bold statement. Some people may say, well, prove that. Well, I can't prove it in absolute terms because, of course, America is the wealthiest country in the world. But if you compare us per capita to the giving, the compassion shown to people, both domestically and internationally, nobody even comes close. And you know, Jesus himself said, you want to know where a person's heart is? Follow the treasure. In other words, where you are willing to put your money, that says a lot about where your heart is. And Americans give more than any other nation that's ever existed. That's why we have some of the most vibrant, wealthiest charities on earth, not because they're getting money from the government, but because they're getting money from the American people. And not because one person sets up and writes a $1 million check, but because Americans all over the country give 25 and 50 and 100 bucks and $5 and 10 bucks to help the process, to help further the cause. Whether that be some charitable institution that is simply doing good works or something like my organization, STAND, that is actually involved in education and information and transformation of people's thinking. But it's the generosity of the American people. And for people to live here and not understand that is a travesty. And I can tell you, I have personally experienced it in my brief life, the goodwill, the decency of the American people is just, to me, it's thrilling. It's inspiring to me. And I often think about the fact that, you know, I'm blessed not only to live in a country where it is possible to get a better education. With all of our educational problems, it is possible to get a better education here than you can anywhere else. But not only that you can be enriched in ways that you can't be enriched anywhere else. Because here you can talk to people of so many different backgrounds and experiences. And it just, to me, it enriches one's life to come out of your little corner, your little enclave, and meet and talk to other people and hear about their experiences and hear about their lives. And it's, first of all, it will always amaze you how much commonality you have with other human beings, regardless of what their demographic background is or their national origin is or their, where their ancestors came from. But it is also interesting to see that every human being, folks, has got their problems, their challenges, their pain, their suffering. They've got backgrounds that can often be full of difficulties and tragedies. You see, I keep saying it's the human condition, and we all share in it. And what the left is trying to do is say, no. Some people are more human than others. And which is just so demonic that it's just ridiculous. It really is just ridiculous. Instead of realizing, men are no more sinful than women, but you wouldn't know that from the mainstream media. You wouldn't know that from the left, because they think, women are all just the victims of men. Like, all men are victimizers, all women are their victims. Just like, all white people are racist and all, quote-unquote, people of color are their victims. It's the same old mantra, but it's got the same intent, which is to divide people, to slice and dice people. Look, for us, speaking of charity, January, my organization, Stand, declared January our Patriot Partners Month. And Patriot Partners is a system that we've developed to encourage people to just give their 5, their 10, their 15, 20, 25 bucks a month to help us do what we do. I just laid out for you what we're going to be focusing on this year. And if you want to help us, go to standamerica.us. And yeah, for as little as 5 bucks a month, you become a Patriot Partner. We're going to send you an official officer's pin. And we used to not give these out because these are some really nice looking pins. but we're going to send you a t-shirt and an official officer's pin. You sign up to be a Patriot Partner and help us out. And that's for as little as only 5 bucks a month. If you can do better, fine. By all means, do that. And as always, folks, I want to remind you, I don't ever ask people to do something I'm not doing or unwilling to do. And so my wife and I are big monthly contributors to, let's put it this way. I say big is relative, but we are persistent and consistent monthly contributors to Stan. Because we don't want to ask others to do what we ourselves are not doing. We believe in what the organization does. Obviously, that's why we do it. And we believe that we ought to be giving up some of our resources to help make sure it carries out its mission. I want to also remind you, come Friday, every Friday, 12 noon Eastern time, we have a prayer time. And you can go to, again, standamerica.us if you want to join in that prayer call. 12 p.m. Eastern time every Friday. And that's prayer for the nation. It's called Stand in Prayer for America. Stand in Prayer for America. And we know we still need prayer in America because we've got some big, 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 big problems coming down the pike here. And what are they? Well, it's already started. Did you all know this? And by the way, I want to start getting your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. By the way, we went to Florida for vacation because it's relatively open, but we were surprised to see that a lot of people were just voluntarily doing everything that the CDC has asked them to do, even though there are no mandates, there are no requirements, nobody's required to do, no orders. This is what I've always said. You give people information, they will respond accordingly. But it's so much better when you're doing it because you believe it's the right thing to do rather than doing because somebody ordered you to do it and told you they were going to punish you if you don't do it. So it was a very pleasant time. We went down to Florida, and the weather was very nice compared to we got back here and to Virginia, and it's in the 40s, and we've been down there. It's been in the high 70s. Oh. 888-589-8840. When we come back, I want to start taking your calls. I want to hit a couple of issues that are going on. Did you know the first thing Biden did right out of the box, the first thing he did was to issue a transgender executive order? What kind of thinking is that? That makes the top of your list? Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
I guess you saw it. It was in the papers across the country. Russell Tansey of Oakland, California, filed a suit against God in the amount of $100,000. Tansey filed the suit on behalf of his legal secretary, Betty Penrose, who blamed God for a lightning bolt which struck and destroyed her home in Phoenix some 9 years earlier. Tansey officially charged God with careless and negligent control of the weather. Well, it was more of a publicity stunt than anything else. We humans sometimes become little balls of ego walking around, and finding a way to get our names before the masses means a lot to us. So some will stoop to anything for the sake of fame. But you know, it sets one to thinking, who will represent the deity at the hearing? And should he lose, who will pay the amount? Will this open up other suits against him? Well, there's a lot of questions which come into our mind concerning the situation. Most of them are of very little importance. I doubt very seriously if the Creator would appear at such a hearing in the expected manner. Judging from past experience, we might as well forget the whole thing. A fellow named Job wanted to argue his case with the Maker, only to learn that it was a great mistake. There's another side to the question that pops into one's mind when he gets to looking at this thing of suits against the Creator. And that is, will the Creator get a chance to file suit against us for messing up his property? You know, it doesn't take one long to make his answer when that possibility opens up. We'd better leave well enough alone, for it's quite evident who will come up on the short end of the deal. Betty Penrose waited 9 years to file her suit against God. I wonder if we have ever paused to consider the patience that the Creator has with us. We've literally been making a mess of his property, destroying his creation, wasting his products for countless thousands of years. And yet he doesn't strike us dead to get what is due him. That's a mystery, an eternal mystery. The patience of the one above us as he sees what we have done and are doing with the things which are his. There's also the possibility that if we are to charge him with the things which we consider bad, he might in return place a charge upon us for the things we call good. That makes one stop pretty quick, for it's quite evident again who will come up short. I don't think I have enough money to repay him for a single day of sunshine, much less countless other gifts which he gives me. It appears that when it comes to suing the Creator, we'd better leave well enough alone. It opens up too many possibilities which could and would leave us flat, broke, and eternally in debt. And since we have thought about it, I guess we're already that way, in debt to God.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And the number again is 888-589-8840. Of course, one of the things that I do find quite disgusting, I'm not discouraged by it in the least. We're going to go on fighting no matter what they do, because I really think this is primarily directed at people who voted for the president or people who appreciated the president's policies and who could not appreciate his policies. They were good for America and they helped America. But I think they want to dispirit us. They want to demoralize us. They want to demoralize the people who looked at it objectively and said, how can you? I mean, I've even had people say, you know, I didn't like his style and all that, but the policies were great. So those who think they weren't are living in la-la land, and they're so full of hatred for him personally, I guess because he got in his way of their agenda, got in the way of their agenda. But they're going to impeach him. This will be the first time in history that a president has been impeached while not in office. Now, folks, this is not about anything but hatred, punishment, vengeance, and it should be beneath the dignity of the United States Senate to take these charges to trial. It should be beneath their dignity. They ought to say, we're voting not to do a trial because we don't believe this charge is sufficient. We don't believe that it rises to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. And we're moving on. This, in fact, folks, in my view, it's another assault on the First Amendment, because nowhere did you hear President Trump say to anybody, go to the Capitol and commit acts of violence. He said, we're going to peacefully and patriotically. Now, I wasn't there, but I did see the video. And he did say that, peacefully and patriotically. What they're saying is they don't like the fact that he questioned the election. But Hillary Clinton spent 4 years questioning the election. I heard her say, well, everybody knows I won. So how can that rise to the level of impeachment? So that's one thing. I mentioned this whole transgender thing. You know, he's opening up the military to transgenders. Yeah, I just feel sorry for these Marines and soldiers and sailors that have to put up with that nonsense. Oh, brother, you know, what kind of uniform do you wear? Do you want, you know, I mean, do you want a dress today or pants? Oh, my goodness. And by the way, here's a shocker, that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who presides over impeachment proceedings, has declined. So he will not be there. So Patrick Leahy is going to preside over the impeachment proceedings. The whole point of having the Supreme Court justice was to have someone of neutrality presiding over the proceedings. And now you've got a hyper-partisan like Patrick Leahy, who's supposed to preside over the Senate trial. I mean, it just gets worse and worse, folks. It really does. These people are playing with fire. They don't realize they're doing so much damage to our Constitution and to our republic by engaging in this nonsense. If they had a modicum of maturity, they would say, you know what? We didn't like him. We didn't agree with him. But he's gone. He's out of office. Let's focus on what we can do for the American people. But that's not where they are. Where they are is, let's stick it in the eye of him and everybody who supported him. And it's just, and here's the last thing I'll mention. I'm going to come to your calls. You know, Hank Aaron passed away while we were on vacation. And Atlanta was apparently his adopted home. And they're now talking about changing the name of the Atlanta Braves to the Atlanta Hammers. Now, I don't know whether that will actually happen, but I will continue to say this, and I hope there are Native Americans listening to me right now, and if you are, call me. I can't see how it's an insult to call a professional team the Atlanta Braves when the whole point is to honor the bravery of that group of people. Here again, you know, none of these names were ever chosen. Forgive me, folks, for being logical, because the left just doesn't know anything about it. They don't know anything about logic. Nobody would invest millions of dollars and then name their entity, their organization, their business after people they despise. I mean, right? The name is supposed to invoke courage and strength and the warrior spirit. But oh no, it's an insult. It's an insult. I mean, that's just, I don't know. And of course, people just go along with it. Yes, to call them the Atlanta Braves, we must change that to the Atlanta Hammers. And with all due respect to Hank Aaron, I'm sorry, you know, the Atlanta Hammers just doesn't ring a bell. I mean, it just doesn't resonate with me. But sooner or later, you'll find somebody who'll find something racist in Hammers. Wait a minute. What is Hammers supposed to imply? But they'll figure out something. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Kay in Kansas. Kay, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. I appreciate you letting me kind of act silly for a few minutes. But when you were talking, you know, to black people and white people, you forgot me. I have freckles, and there's a lot of people that have freckles. So I'm being silly, sir.
Well, but you know what? You are illustrating a point with the absurdity of dividing people that way, Kay, because here again, but go ahead with what are the point were you going to make?
Oh, that was it. I was just being kind of silly. We need to have a little bit of silliness in our country now. And I'm so glad that you're back.
Thank you. You had good
people that talked while you were gone. But I'm glad that you had kind of a good time. And I'm just silly. And I don't mean to say anything wrong. But I'm 81, and I still have some freckles, so.
Okay. OKK. That's right. So, you know, we have to stop for a moment and acknowledge the freckled people, too. How about that? And I guess you'd have to call them people of multicolor or people of color and no color. But Kay, we get the point. Thank you for calling, Kay. Let's go to Ian, also in Kansas. Ian, welcome.
Hi. Well, I wanted to say, first of all, that I believe that God has allowed Biden to steal and manipulate this election, and I just, wife, and there, I know there's a reason for it. We don't know, obviously, yet. But, you know, I was going to, but I have to challenge you, you know. Now, can't Trump, you know, run again in 2024, especially since he won by a landslide, like Grover Cleveland did? If he did, that would be a second term.
Well, you say you're challenging me because I have not focused on that because I think it's just too early from my perspective to have any idea what's going to happen or any idea what former President Trump will do. So I've kind of stayed away from that and focused on what we need to do because his decision is going to be his decision and then people can decide how they respond to it. But what we need to do, in my view, is focus on getting these electoral processes in the states cleaned up, defending our First Amendment rights and challenging this culture of censorship, which I don't call cancel culture. I call it communist culture. And of course, reaching these voters. I mean, look, even with presumed cheating in Georgia, Biden only won by 11,779 votes, even with cheating, out of 5 million votes cast. That tells me that even with cheating, that race was still winnable by conservatives. We just needed to do a little bit more. Because it's not like they took it running away, okay? So, yeah, I don't know what President Trump will do. I just don't have any idea. And politics is funny. It changes so quickly. And nobody can really predict what's going to happen. But I know what we as Americans ought to be doing right now. And then once he makes his decision one way or the other, people can then respond to that. But thank you for the call, Ian. We appreciate it. Let's go to Julian in Georgia. One of the... What is the saying? When the lights went out in Georgia. Well, that old song, hello? That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Welcome, Julian.
Well, good. Happy belated birthday to you. How old were you, 70?
No, I'm not there yet. Don't rush me, Julian. Don't rush me.
Okay, I thought you were born 1951. I'm sorry, brother.
No. So what's on your mind today?
I like to see Donald J. Trump. They said his name was Donald John Trump. I wasn't sure what his middle name was, but that was on the legal paperwork. Because when he gets exonerated from all this, he's going, you know.
You think he's going to run again?
Yeah, but what I'm thinking about.
All right, Julian, I got to run. Sorry, getting in it. Last minute, back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
I was on a phone call with my aunt, and she was just talking about her own life.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Angela Mills.
And my cousin, her daughter, had gone off to college, and she said, "I just want to encourage you to be really investing in your relationship with your husband. Spend time alone with him. Make sure you keep up your friendship because..." And I had just had our youngest daughter, and I was just... you know, it was baby, baby, baby all the time. And so she said, "Your kids are going to grow up. They're going to move out and go away. You don't want to be stuck living with a stranger. You want to have that friendship with your husband." And I thought, wow, we haven't really been paying attention to that at all. And so that was kind of the turning point for me to realize that I needed to be more intentional about having that friendship with him, keeping it going, and not making life all about the kids, which it was definitely my nature at the time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's natural, actually. And you have to work at it. Like you said.
Hear more from Angela at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, folks, I think maybe I get what the last caller was saying. He said, "I'm going to challenge you a little bit." Maybe when I said you can't drive a vehicle by looking in the rearview mirror. And some of you may be thinking, well, you know, President Trump's not done yet. And I don't know that whether he's done or not. Let me make a prediction, though, about this trial. I believe that the president will be wrongly convicted. And the reason I say that is just the numbers. I mean, I don't think the impeachment article is valid. So needless to say, I don't think the trial will be valid. I don't think his conviction will be valid. But just look at the numbers. I don't believe there's a Democrat who will vote against impeachment. But I think there might be one or two Republicans who might vote for it. So I think that the likelihood of conviction is greater than the likelihood of a not guilty in the U.S. Senate. And, of course, if that happens, then you've got a situation where, and the courts are not going to touch a decision by the U.S. Senate, even if it's just by one vote. Now you've got a situation where the president is barred from running for office again. President Trump is. So here again, God could intervene and anything could happen, right? And I could be completely wrong. I'm just basing that on the numbers. I'm not telling you the Lord told me anything. I'm just telling you this based on the numbers. So that's why I'm saying, and there's nothing you and I can do to control that unless you get some idea that some Republican like a Mitt Romney is going to vote for impeachment and the people in his state want to put pressure on him and tell him, "Don't do that or we won't reelect you." But short of that, there's really nothing we can do. That process has begun, and other than pray, of course. And God could intervene and change that situation. But in the meantime, it just seems to me we've got to focus on things we can control and things that we can do. And getting these election processes in these various states straightened out is something we can have a direct impact on, and we can make clear to our legislatures that we want something done about that. We want to do away with these universal mail-in ballots. We want to do away with all this loosey-goosey, not verifying signatures when somebody has had to mail in a ballot, maybe because they're disabled, and doing away with this, "Well, we don't need voter ID. That's just a voter suppression method," and all this craziness. Just do away with all that and just do what the left does. Just push it through, do what is right, and believe me, nobody's going to be denied a right to vote because they don't have a voter ID, because they're just too easy to get. And think if it was for Texas, they would pay for voter IDs. The state said, "We'll pay for anybody who wants a voter ID." We'll pay for it. Nobody will have to pay anything. But, oh, no, that's still, it's still racist because don't ask me why, because I've never heard any valid explanation. Okay, let's come back to your calls. I hope I'm wrong, by the way, but we will soon know, and we'll talk about it when that time comes. Let's go to Sonia in Texas. Speaking of Texas, Sonia, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Bishop Jackson. All I want to say is the Democrats, they only see one color, and it's green. And we have to educate all these Democrats out here that voted for O'Biden. We need to show them how much Nancy Pelosi has spent of our taxpayers' money and divided between by the world, and how much everybody would have gotten if she hadn't been spending all our money trying to impeach President Trump twice, the collusion. That's what the Democrats see, is green. And if you show these Democrats, the Americans, how much of their money is being spent on nonsense, they probably won't like her either.
Well, I hope you're right. I'll tell you, though, Sonia, I beg to differ with you just a little bit. I think you're right. They do see money, but I think what they really crave is power. As you see, money does bring power, but it can only do so on a limited basis. But power can always produce money. It can always produce money, either dishonestly or because of the lawful influence that people might have through their ability, through their power, the lawful influence they might have and their ability to market that. I mean, that's how you get people who don't have a dime, like the Obamas, like the Bidens, like former Majority Leader Harry Reid, come to the U.S. Senate broke, no money, and leave multimillionaires. How does that happen? Well, we know how it happens. It's the game of power. So, but Sonia, your point is well taken. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Thomas in Virginia. Thomas, welcome.
Yes, hello, Rocky.
Okay, Thomas, you've been listening.
Hey, I love your analogy about Rocky, but let me bump you up a notch.
Okay.
You're more like Rambo. Okay, you got an M16 in one hand and a Bible in the other, baby. And I tell you what, that Bible is a whole lot more powerful than it. That M16. And I'm sorry, I know I don't have anything important to say today, but I just was kind of carrying on the silliness of the freckle girl.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you something.
You bring so much joy to me, Reverend Jackson, Bishop Jackson. You bring a lot of joy to me, and I listen to you every single day coming down the road to work, and you have brought so much joy to me, and I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Thomas. I really do appreciate that more than I can express. I really do. You know, I was thinking, though, you said the Bible in one hand, the M16 in the other. You know what? I think the left is more afraid of the Bible than they are the M16, too. I'll tell you the truth. I think they claim to want gun control, and I have no doubt that they do. But I think they hate the Bible a lot more than they hate guns, because every time they need security, they're happy to have people around them with guns. But I don't see many people around them with Bibles. So your point, Thomas, is I love the analogy, though. But, yeah, you just made me think about the fact that, yeah, I think the Bible is scarier to them than the gun. Folks, let's see. We've got enough time to get a few more calls in. We got a couple open lines. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I remember reading long ago, I disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. And I'd like to say that the reason that there are no big tech companies run by Christians is because of this prevailing mindset that you're not really a Christian if you're into STEM.
Oh. Is that a mindset?
Yeah, like every college youth group that I went to, it was run by people who said, oh, you're not really a Christian because you're into STEM.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I find that opinion preposterous. I mean, that is stupid. Science, what is it? Science, technology,
engineering.
Engineering and medicine, right?
Math.
And math, okay. I knew it was the technological sciences, but right. I mean, what in the world does that have to do with being a Christian? Why wouldn't, I mean, my goodness, that just seems silly. I can't believe that. Huh? Go ahead.
I think so too, but it's like they made a golden calf out of the 1800s mixed with the 1950s. And they're against anything future. They think that God has promised them that he's going to bring back the cowboy days. And that's the real reason they're into eschatology so much.
Okay. All right, Mike, let me try to get another call in here. I think you got your point across. Mike, I've never met the Christians you're talking about, by the way. Let me just say that I've never met them. I've met Christians. In fact, a member of my church is an electrical engineer and electrical contractor. And we understand that science and technology has its place. We just don't allow those things to become our God. That's all. Or anything else. But yeah, so wow, I don't know that that's a mindset that I have ever seen in the Christian community. But thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Let's go to Phil in Tennessee. Phil, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I'll get right to it. Thanks for getting me on. I'm a retired Marine of 24 years.
Semper Fi, Phil. Semper Fi.
Yes, sir. Semper Fi. Since President Biden is allowing transgenders in the service, Marine Corps has a women's boot camp and a male boot camp. Which one will they go to?
and you know what? That's just the beginning of the problem. I don't get it. I mean, if you're in the military already and you're a male serving and then you decide you're female, what are the implications of that? Because what they say is, I mean, military is a legal organization. You sign up by a certain name, you get a number for that name, and what, you suddenly become a female? I mean, what do they do? Do they change your name? To me, it's a distraction from the primary mission of the military, which is the security of the United States of America, not proving that we're the most progressive, whatever else you want to attach to that, country in the world. Look, we can have, you know, transgenders in the military, and isn't it great? Well, what's that got to do with what the military does? Nothing. And you know, it rather amazes me. And Phil, thank you for the call. We're almost out of time. I appreciate you raising that. And Semper Fi again, thank you for your service, Phil. Appreciate you very much. What kind of mindset is it where these are the first things on his agenda? And that's part of it. I mean, look, he's a leftist, and this is an idol now of the left. This is where they worship at the altar of this sexual perversion. But the fact that it's the first thing out of the box, it just amazes me. It just tells me where their priorities are, what they spend their time. You know, they always accuse conservatives. These conservatives are so obsessed with everybody's sexuality. No, we're not. But it keeps getting pushed in our faces. We keep getting confronted with it. And we got to respond. And we respond with the word of God, which says it's wrong. Well, folks, that's going to do it for today. I am so glad to be back with you all. Thank you all for the kind comments. And in the meantime, remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.